And good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. It's just another beautiful day here on the eastern shore of Maryland. And if you can find beauty in the world, it certainly is the ocean. And we have it here on the east coast, eastern shore of Maryland. It is Friday, March 20th. Oh, this will give me a chance to kind of rest for 20 minutes while I do the first segment of the program today. I'm here solo. And during the second and third segment of the program today, it will be my conversation with James Corbett. And this is the one that I really wanted you to listen to, because I really hope it opens your eyes as to what is going on. I get calls. We have more calls than we can return. We work late to do it, so be patient. Call back. You can call back as many times as you'd like. Don't get upset. But you have to listen to me. When I tell you there's nothing more frustrating when I tell somebody that there is no gold to be purchased, and they'll say, well, what else do you have? It's like, hello, listen to me. And I don't mean to get upset or anything, but people aren't listening. You're so focused, not you, but people that are purchasing gold and silver, so focused on one particular item, and we're in a market where you can't be focused on one particular item. Don't lose sight of what the purpose is for buying gold and silver. It isn't the silver ratio to gold. That's not why you buy physical metals. That's one. It's a nice buying opportunity when things are nice and slow and you can get positioned properly. These markets are hardly anything as calm. And when I see these states, these nations, continue to close, and I see what's happening in the backgrounds from the Federal Reserve to the comments, the lies coming from the White House, you have to pay attention and get rid of those paper dollars. It's going to be about people are hoarding dollars because that's what they were told to do. Oh, hold your dollars, because you know what? During the Depression, people hoarded cash and lotta. Cash in the 30s was gold. It's not the same today. Yes, you need some cash, but you do not hoard your cash. You don't sell your stocks and put the cash under the mattress. You convert, and this is my opinion, you convert that paper into gold. There isn't anything out there. The Royal Canadian Mint, shut down for 2 weeks. We were selling Canadian maple leaves until yesterday. I called up this morning to make an order. Well, they're closed. Just got the notice from them. We're trying to make other arrangements. There are gold and silver kangaroos, but I was told, as far as shipping, to be determined. That's a first. But you can't get upset about the orders that you already have in place, because they're all covered. It's going forward. You want to buy product that we can deliver. It's not whether you want silver eagles. My first question to anybody who calls is, what do you want to invest? This is what I have. Well, I don't know. I was really wanting silver eagles. It's your loss if you don't convert those paper dollars to gold and silver. And I'm just not a dealer selling gold and silver encouraging you to do this. You tell me what else there is out there. You tell me what happens when the world shuts down their economies, not just weeks. You tell me what else to do when you have the Fed pumping trillions of dollars into these markets, when other economies are pumping billions of dollars. Their currencies have gotten weaker. That's why ours got stronger. And all the swaps and the Forex. I mean, it's a combination of everything. It's not going to last. And it's going to be even harder because you have people hoarding cash. It's pumped up to this high level. People are feeling pretty cocky and comfortable with the dollar because it's getting stronger while everything else is crashing around about them. The dollar is next to go. How long can they keep the strength in the... I don't know. I mean, you can do anything when you can pump trillions of dollars into the markets. The markets have changed. You have gold today. Let's go to the prices. You have gold today. We have... I just want to say one more thing. People are worried about what's going on. This kind of goes back to what I said in the beginning. People are worried about what's going on, but they're not worried enough about losing their money. It's kind of like the same example when I talk to you about people who have, you know, IRAs and they have cash in there. Well, you know, if I pull it out, I'm going to lose, you know, 20-30% because I'm going to have to, I have to pay penalties and taxes. But I know I could lose 70%. It's at risk. That's the same kind of statement. Well, I could lose 70%, but I don't want to do anything about it. I don't want to pay my taxes on something that you're going to have to pay anyway. And taxes are only going up. It just doesn't make sense to me. I get it. When you're dealing with, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars, yeah, those are big numbers that you have to, you're not losing, you're converting. And I get that, but you're willing to risk 70% or more. Don't get it. Gold up $16.50. Off the high of 1504, we're looking at 1488. Silver is up 35 cents at 1256. Platinum is up $22 at $615. Palladium was down $79 at $1674, down almost 5%. Looking at these numbers today, it looks like that the precious metals, the three precious metals, have finally broken away from the two major industrial metals, which is palladium and rhodium. I don't know if this is the beginning of that trend. I don't know if you'll begin to see the extreme losses in the rhodium and palladium market. Palladium shouldn't even be selling at $800. You have the USDX today. That was down 0.11 at 102.71. Crude oil was down 5. That was up earlier. That was a huge reversal. I don't know if I'll check the other market to see if that's correct. 1984. 1984 was a very good book. Down 5.38. Stock market today, down 913 points. Down 4.55%, 19,173. You know, this morning, early morning trade, it was up 800. Big day, big reversal. I wouldn't go into the weekend. Are you kidding me? Anybody who's foolish enough to be holding on to the paper going into this weekend? You got to be nuts. The NASDAQ was down 271 points at 6,879, and the S&P was down 104, 2,304. 10-year yield, that broke one again, 0.94, down 0.18. Germany at least had a decent day overnight, 3.70. And let me look the May contract. The May contract for oil was 23.87. So that is not in line with what I was showing as this spot. So this, my other market might not be updated. Maybe it pulled around. But let me go back to see if that's not Brent and versus that's light crude, so it would be. So yeah, there's a little bit of a difference of a spread. So again, drastic changes for oil. And I mean, you've seen the headlines. You know what's coming. Everything around you is going to close down. Illinois is going to announce a shelter-in-place order. New York has, California has. They're in statewide lockdowns. There's nothing coming out of government in any sense of calm or like they really know what they're doing. You know, it's all about the testing kits. I saw one interview. I saw Dr. Golub. He was the, you know, I don't know if he was the previous FDA or, but they CNBC has him on their program in the morning, and he's talking about some just the swabs and things. They're pennies. There's no profit. There's no margin in those. So those are the things that companies don't make because there's no money there. But you can find all kinds of scanners for $100,000. They're in multiple supplies. But the little things that you, there's just no margin isn't there. And they ask the one White House official, well, are you going to help these companies get these things that are needed so the testing can be done properly? He says, no, we're going to leave that up to the companies. So who is the government helping? And I don't think anybody actually has the ability and the time. You know, I watch and I read all day long. And I listen to these little comments. Oh, that's interesting. So again, ladies and gentlemen, listen to what's happening in the gold and silver market. Product is limited. Very limited. I had a guy, he lost his job this morning. He was almost in tears. He says, I can't go through with my order, but yet I know that's what I need to do. Freed up some Silver Eagles for me. I wasn't happy about it. But the point is, he lost his job already. He was in Detroit. Thousands and thousands of people across this country. And then I saw a headline that D.C., President Trump, is telling states not to release the unemployment numbers until next week. Or when the final number comes out in April? Are you kidding me? Governments do it all the time, and I'm sure other presidents have done it. We know they don't release the real information, so it's really no big surprise. But to actually see it in multiple different news programs and stations, I think it was Fox, that they were scrolling down the line. Don't release the numbers. Don't release the real numbers. We know we don't get the truth. Goldman Sachs predicts a negative 24%. The WHO claims the world systems are collapsing. The health systems. Collapsing. And you're worried about which product you buy? And what premium you pay? So when you call and make your orders, yes, premiums are high. Right now, I'm encouraging $20 gold pieces. We can get delivery next. You can get delivery next week. I do have Gold Eagles available, but I need your money first before I can lock in. Why? Because that's what I'm being required from my buyer. We have them, but they're prepaid. Get me your money, I'll get them bought as long as they're there. This is the way these markets work. This is what we've been talking about. There's so little gold in this country. There's so little gold available. You can't be choosy. The point is, get rid of those fiat dollars. That's what's important. With the Dow tumbling 900 points, this is the worst week since 2008. But what's going on in this country and around the world is far worse. Far worse than whatever we went through 2008. That was a breeze. So again, I don't mean to preach. Just reading some of these headlines, half the time I don't even want to read the articles because the headlines of the articles scare me to death. So I don't want to. But you look at these, you know, Treasury yields down after governor orders New York residents to stay home. You have states expand unemployment. WHO warns of of health system collapse. You know, Trump says respects China. Really? But unfortunately, the virus got out of control. No, we didn't control it first. And I don't care what you think of where it came from, where, you know, that it's all a hoax or whatever. We have to take it seriously, and you have to protect yourself like it is serious. If you don't care whether you get sick or not, care about the people around you, if it is real. World's top debt funds loses billions. These are just the initial headlines. What do you think they're going to be next week and the week after and the week after? S&P share buybacks to drop 70% this year. Well, where do you think the markets are going to go if you have no more buybacks? I mean, geez, Luigi. Senators to negotiate the $1 trillion economic rescue deal. We know government's always low in their budgets and their planning. So that $1 trillion is going to be $2 trillion, $3 trillion? Oh, yeah, we can handle this. Wait till the interest rates begin to rise. They're just coming. The U.S. states seek $150 billion in emergency federal aid. Germany mulling half-trillion euro support fund for corona-struck deals. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. So as I prepare to end this segment of the program, and again, James Corbett and my conversation will be coming up next. It was pre-recorded Wednesday evening. And remember, convert those paper dollars. We try to keep the premiums as low as we can. And you just buy what you can for as quick of delivery as you can, because this is the market we live. I'm sure we'll be, I don't want to make this announcement, but I don't know why we wouldn't reduce our hours next week. If there's no product, I mean, we'll be here first thing Monday morning, so don't not call. I don't want everybody to think, oh, they're closing. No, I'm not closing. We're servicing. We're answering phone calls. So, but get your gold and silver. Get what you can. We do have some 90% silver available. We were able to buy a bunch of that early this morning. So, you know, we've been kind of, you know, holding it a little bit, but it's here. But everybody wants 90% silver. And then when you start explaining about 90%, oh, well, I heard that people won't want that in the future. I don't know where you guys get these ideas. But my idea is I'm out of time. And we'll be here, 1-800-375-4188. We'll be back on Monday, and great segment coming up. Stay tuned.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it: to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. CommonSenseRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and I am pleased to welcome back to the program Mr. James Corbett. And we're always excited to have him here. I look forward to my conversation with him every other week. We are pre-recorded on Wednesday evening, so it's going to be an interesting program, and I'm looking forward to it. And as you know and remember, that James is the founder and the editor of the Corbett Report. It was founded in 2007, and in 2012 he became the editorial writer for the International Forecaster. And of course, the International Forecaster is still run by Bob Chapman's daughter, Jennifer. And you can visit James' website at thecorbettreport.com, thecorbettreport.com. And you can also get a complimentary issue to the International Forecaster by going to their website, theinternationalforecaster.com. Well, hello, James.
Well, hello, Melody. How are you doing?
It's just great. Thank you very much. And again, thank you for taking the time out to join us for the two segments of the program. And, you know, we usually begin the program, we capture some of the latest headlines for discussion. If we talk about today's headlines, as I mentioned, this program is pre-recorded. It's going to be old news by the time this program is aired. So I'm going to ask you, with that in mind, before we talk about your articles and some things that you wrote about, what do you think in the news, what do you want to say to the listeners today?
Oh, I just want to say, hey, how you guys doing? nice weather we're having today. Yeah, it's hard to talk about the only thing that anyone in the world is talking about right now, because it is one of those interesting unfolding stories that, regardless of whether or not you believe there is actually substance to the hype, and I certainly am on the skeptical side of that equation and do not believe that this is the Black Death that's coming to kill us all. But regardless of whether or not you believe that the hype is justified, it is a self-fulfilling prophecy. It manifests in the world because, on the back of that hype, all manners of agendas are being pushed right now. And I don't even... I'm something at a loss for words, which is a bit of a problem because I basically say words for a living. So I guess I have to find a way to articulate this. But in a sense, this is absolutely everything that I have been talking about, yes, writing about, warning about, blowing the alarm about for the past 13 years that I've been doing this at CorbettReport.com. Clearly, it's under a different guise, with a different name, with a different mask at the moment, and that mask is this bio scare or whatever this is at the moment, but it's the same agenda, essentially, and it is going to reach into the lives of every single person listening to my voice right now. There is no way to understate this, because this is a generational transformative event that is taking place right in front of our eyes. So I don't even know where to begin. It's like asking a fish to not only talk about the water that it's swimming in, but to describe, you know, what is water like, and what would the world be like without water, and how does water affect you? I mean, I don't know. It's absolutely everything that's happening right now. But all I can say is, remember, keep something in mind of your mindset, your mentality of just a few months ago, where the things that are happening right now would have been unthinkable at that point. And really try to hold on to that, because one thing that I know for certain is that the normalcy bias is going to kick in, and people are going to attempt to rationalize this by normalizing it in their minds. Oh, yeah, they're rolling out the military. Oh, it's martial law. Oh, they're invoking War Powers Act. Oh, they're probably going to nationalize industries. Oh, it's going to be universal basic income. Oh, they're taking over the global monetary system. But, you know, it's just a little panic fad, and in a few months, everyone will forget about it. No, do not normalize this. This is what this has always been about. This is just the latest cover for it, but it is happening, and I hope people can shake themselves out of complacency and realize that it's happening.
You know, not to pat myself on the back, or we've been talking about it for as long as you have, and you're right. This is unfolding in manners that we've talked about for 25, you know, we've been doing this, the discount gold and silver's been around for 25 years. And to me, James, I don't even know what words to choose anymore. Frightening, it's fascinating to see it unfold. And you know, you use the words the elite, they, it's the agenda that that you talked about, your documentaries to show how it comes about. And you're right. I mean, when I see the headlines about the war powers being invoked, about, you know, you're right, all the things that are happening, is everything. And it was all right there in front of everyone to see. And yet it's mind-boggling, and you're right. We can't be complacent about it. There is this agenda. It is happening. And, you know, for 4 years, ever since President Trump, and I'm not going down that road, but we heard about, oh, the elitists, the global, whatever you want to call them, was on the run. And I know they're not. They're doing exactly what they want to do.
Exactly, right. And that's important to stress, because I've seen this being floated, and I saw a Patrick Buchanan op-ed recently, you know, the globalists are becoming an extinct species and this kind of thing. This kind of talk, it is absolutely not true, because this is absolute steroids for the agenda, which of course was pre-existing and was already there, but exactly as 9/11 was that trigger event that was the excuse to bring out so much of this in the public and ramp it up to 11. This is the steroids in the arm of the globalists for the next stage of their agenda and the technocratic enslavement grid, which, again, we've been talking about, we've been warning about for some time. This is what it looks like, and this is the way it arrives. And the worst part about it is it always arrives in a way that the majority of people can be convinced it is for their own good. Well, we have to do it. There's a health crisis on. You horrible, evil person thinking about individual rights and liberties in a time like this. No, now is the time for quarantines and lockdowns, and we will cheer on the military, and we will boo any villain who questions authority during this time. And again, this hits on everything, from the online censorship to the cashless society to the transformation of the economy, to new monetary order, to implementation of all sorts of new draconian restrictions on movement and travel, to rolling out of martial law, to internal passports, to you name it. Absolutely every agenda item is actually ramped up as a result of this. I don't see anything being derailed fundamentally. Yes, some of the people in the corporatocracy are going to take a hit from this. Yeah, just like in the Great Depression, not everyone comes out as a winner, but the people who control the system itself certainly do benefit from this shearing of the sheep that happens perhaps once a century, and maybe this is our time for this century. And I hope, again, I hope people have their eyes open and are aware of just how important this is.
You mentioned that this is the next stage. Is it the final stage?
I've been talking for years about how we are moving into a time where throughout human history, there have been dark periods and periods of repression and periods where tyranny is growing. And then there have been periods where flowering and renaissance of various sorts happen, and there's new outputs of life and creativity, and things seem to get better. And that cycle, you know, goes on and on. And we like to think of that as the eternal struggle of good versus evil. And maybe neither side is ever going to win forever. And that's, in a way, hopeful. I mean, depending on which side of the glass half full, half empty you're looking at. But I've been saying for a number of years, we do not necessarily have that luxury anymore, because what is technologically capable these days, what a dictator technologically informed can do these days is not just a difference in degree, but a difference in kind of what has been accomplished in the past. And now that we're talking about literally manipulating the human genome and other things that wouldn't have even been feasible, even imaginable in generations past, has come into view. This really is, in this next period of the next few decades, this truly is the future of humanity itself. Can and will tyranny win forever and lock down humanity in a way that cannot be escaped? And that's why this is a move into an endgame stage, and this is the new paradigm for that endgame stage. The previous paradigm was the 9/11 war on terror, and now we're moving into this, whatever this is at the moment, this virus scare. And of course, the two can be so easily combined, because next thing, don't you know it, Al-Qaeda or whatever shadowy terror group is suddenly releasing bioweapons. They've weaponized this. I mean, who knows, maybe this is a bioweapon release. But at any rate, how far do they have to go to throw that into the mix? And then, you know, pile it on top of there. Throw in an economic depression, throw in a dirty bomb in Chicago, or whatever it is. And all of a sudden, completely everything can be upended. And what gets put in its place is complete and total lockdown. Literally lockdown, quarantine, isolation, and people actually cheering it on. Again, it's just, the mind boggles, and I'm at a loss for words.
Is it human nature? Is that what it just is? And they have been able to tap into that, know that, to control, and, I mean, who really is left to fight the tyranny and to change things? I mean,
yeah,
you're right,
it
is.
Yeah. And how do you fight against this? Because there has been time and there has been a stage for spreading information and awareness, and that has been exceptionally important to get more people on board. Because, as people like to say, it's during times, revolutionary times, it isn't, you know, the 99% of the population that's going to change things. It's the few percent that are motivated and informed and understand what's happening, who are on the good side, are fighting against the few percent who are on the bad side of that equation. And that's where the real test is. And the vast majority of people are just going along to get along with their lives and don't have any strong convictions based on principles. They're just going to go with whatever is normal. And that can flip. And so, in colonial times, yeah, of course, we're colonies. We don't need revolution. We don't need to throw off the king. That's crazy talk. And then the revolution happens, and suddenly, oh, of course, yay, you know, yay, we threw off the king, that vile dictator. Everyone wants to be on the winning side of history. So the vast majority of the populace is, in a sense, it's that meme that floated around a couple years ago, then non-player characters, NPCs. They don't really even matter in the stage of revolution. So there has been a time where it has been important to get this information out to as many people who are receptive to it as possible. But at this point, when rubber starts meeting the road, I don't have a pat answer or solution to this, but I want people in the audience to reflect on exactly what it is that you will and will not do when it comes to it. When they start enforcing quarantines, and when they start coming around with mandatory vaccinations or whatever, however this plays out, what will you go along with? What will you not go along with? What are you prepared to do to make sure that you do not go along with whatever you're not prepared to go along with? These are the questions that you have to start getting clear in your mind right now, because you will not have time to formulate those answers further down the road.
But you also have to understand and realize what the consequences will be. I mean, it's one thing to choose and to say, but you also have to be ready to deal with the consequences, because there will be consequences.
Yeah, of course, absolutely. And this isn't a game. This isn't some theoretical exercise. This is very real. This is your life and your family's life and your ability to survive in this world. And what does that mean? And survival at what cost? And in what way? And what can you compromise and what can't you compromise? Again, I am not here to tell people individually what they should or should not be ready to do or not do. That is for every individual to come to their own decisions. But I want people to be in the right mind space where they understand this is not a game, this is not a test, this is very real, and people need to have their plans in place so that they at least have a possibility of achieving them. Because when people are thrown into crisis and don't have a plan for it, then basically they're at the mercy of the authorities who are going to decide to dictate the reality around them. This is why it's been so important, and why myself and I'm sure you have been talking for years and years and years about all the things people can do to prepare to get themselves, to wean themselves off of the grid, financially and otherwise, because the grid will be taken down at some point. Well, we're watching it falling down. This is what's happening. It is collapsing at the moment. And of course, the saviors in government will come along to save the day. And of course, as every single time, it's a Faustian bargain where, of course, we'll keep you all right, we'll keep the breadline moving, but it means now you have to take the vaccine and the chip and the internal passports and whatever else is coming down the line. That's the bargain that's going to be offered, and you have to ask yourself whether you're willing to take it.
Are we at a point in time, and I believe in preparing. I mean, that's all I talk about. Prepare for worst case scenario. Prepare for worst case scenario. There was places, you know, find your little lot of land somewhere, do whatever you need to do. But is that even a place where you can go now? Are there any good places that you can go and be in this time? Because, and I hear too, I hear it all the time. Well, this is a test. No, and I agree with you, James. This is not a test.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, I'm seeing that also from my own audience. Some people are treating this as, oh, this will be over in a few weeks, and then they'll just go back to preparing for the next time this happens. And I certainly hope that's true. I certainly don't think that's true in a lot of senses, because the economic effects of this are already happening. They're admitting now, finally, we might be in a global recession right now. You think? Yeah, it is coming. And I hope people are at least bracing for the reality that it is coming.
It just baffles my mind when you think of the world economies, not just one country, two countries, three countries, the world economies, countries are shut down. It's baffles. I don't have any words.
Yeah. I'm with you. It's a good thing we're doing a radio program.
I tell my listeners not to panic, but it boggles the mind to think that this is so synchronized. World economy shutting down. Literally. Not just in different sectors, just not...
Exactly. That's exactly an important part of this. If it was just China, that would be one thing. But it is China and the U.S. and Europe and Canada and Asia and everywhere else simultaneously.
We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Please stay tuned.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Every limbo boy and girl all around the limbo world gonna do the limbo rock all around the limbo clock.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with my guest, James Corbett of The Corbett Report. Make sure you get to the website, thecorbettreport.com. We were talking about, the end of the world as we know it, I guess. James, you know. But we're also talking about the speed in which all of this is unfolding. And you brought it about, James, and you mentioned during the break about how it is actually like in slow motion, too. Could you explain that a little bit?
Yeah. Well, it is the rapidity of everything collapsing. And on so many different fronts, economically, as well as geopolitically, as well as domestically, politically, and militarily, and all of this, that it's just so overwhelming. But at the same time, I think I've heard this from a lot of different people. It seems if you go outside, well, everything looks the same, and everybody's is acting on guard and sort of off kilter, but it's not like there's madness or pandemonium on the streets. It's just sort of a palpable tension in the air at this point, at least in places where we have the luxury of leaving our homes. Which is becoming fewer and fewer places on the planet, isn't it? So there is this just sort of an eerie sense, like we're sort of waiting for this enemy to arrive. But this isn't a war that is being fought on a battlefield between soldiers. This is this nebulous thing that is just out there in the atmosphere. I mean, there's so many ways that this plays on fundamental human psychology. But one of them is that, in a sense, it's like in the car crash scenario where people often relate. In the car crash, of course, it happens in the course of a couple of seconds, but those couple of seconds, suddenly you go into slow motion and you're watching the world almost from a third-party perspective and everything's going slow motion, and then suddenly it comes crashing in. That's kind of the sense that I get as people are starting to sort of process what's happening right now.
You know, we were talking about what could we do to chain things and make sure that we come out on the right side? Do you think the youth of the world, I mean, we see them, you know, basically defy, you know, the stay homes, they're traveling, they're going to various places around the world. You can get airfare, you know, $120 to go to Panama and all these other places. And, you know, they're enjoying because they're basically ignoring and have this, could they actually be the ones to make a difference? I know,
yeah,
now.
Yes, I get what you're saying, and potentially so. I think one aspect of this, and I guess it's time for broad generalizations, because obviously this is about sort of broad categories, but in order to have everyone on board with an agenda like this, you have to have them bought into the system as it exists. And I think one thing everyone can agree on is that millennials and Generation Z are not bought into this system in any meaningful sense. If anything, they are saddled with debt and don't have any long-term prospects, and they're not starting families, and they're not getting mortgages, and they're not sort of buying onto the system that people have grown up with for generations because they can't get in. to the system as it exists right now. So from that perspective, well, all right, let's, what do I care? I'm the least likely to die from this disease, so I don't care if I get it and I'm asymptomatic, you know, whatever, someone in some old folks home will die. And I think that's at least that's the way people are understanding this. I don't even believe half the hype regarding this disease anyway, but that's the way I think people are processing this at the moment. So in a sense, yes, there is the sense in the younger generation, well, this doesn't really affect us in that direct sense, so we can take advantage of this. And there is that aspect to it. But unfortunately, no, I also think that as free as they are from the system in that sense, I think younger people tend to be 100% on board with the sort of government propaganda that is laid out through social media and things like this, where, of course, we know controlled platforms like Reddit have a lot of bots and inauthentic activity going on at the best of times, and they are pushing memes and ideas on people right now about social distancing and flattening the curve and all of these ideas that are popping up into the popular consciousness and I think are being adopted by the young. And the worst part is I'm looking at my children, now 6 years old and 3 years old, who are very likely now to be growing up in an era where these types of ideas of social distancing and isolation and quarantining are just the norm. And that is almost unthinkable, because again, like the war on terror, you and I can remember before the war on terror era and before 9/11 and before the craziness, and can you imagine just going through a one metal detector to get on an airplane and that was the extent of security? But no, there's people growing up today who cannot imagine that because they've never experienced anything else. And we're about to, again, change the paradigm, and people are not going to be able to understand, what, you just traveled where you wanted, when you wanted, and you could just do that? That's going to be a fundamental change that's going to take place. And unfortunately, the youth will be the most malleable to that type of change because they have the least experience of a world without it.
Without it. You know, with the virus circling the world and everything that's happening, the shutdown of the world, we, many times on this program, you and I talked about the next war, that there'd be a war popping up. It was just a matter of time, whether it be with Iran, North Korea. We have the war with Yemen. I'm assuming that's still going on. Do you think the worst case scenario, we're going to have a war on top of this?
Well, it's funny you should bring that up, actually, because that is exactly what I'm going to be writing about in the Forecaster this weekend. Uh-huh. Not only do I think we're going to have a war on top of this, yeah, I think this is the clearest sign that we are in World War III. And perhaps it's been ongoing for some time. I think that's debatable. But this certainly is identifiable early shots in that war. And you see that playing out very clearly in the way that this is turning into a diplomatic issue between China and the U.S. specifically. And we've seen high-level Chinese officials coming out and saying that the Americans brought this bioweapon here, you know, it was at the Wuhan military games, exactly as quote-unquote conspiracy theorists have been pointing out for a couple of months now. The Event 201 that was taking place simulating a novel coronavirus outbreak back in October 2019, and then exactly as that Event 201 was wrapping up, you had the military games in Wuhan bringing military officers from all around the world, including, of course, the United States, to Wuhan right before the outbreak began. And here's this novel coronavirus that seems to be weaponized. You'd be hard-pressed to find. In fact, I read today the latest thing is, no, this is too perfectly weaponized, in a sense, so it has to be natural, because no one could even make something this good, which does not exactly instill safe or calm in me. Oh, yeah, okay, this totally isn't a bioweapon, guys. It's too good to be a bioweapon. Anyway, so now China is openly accusing the United States of bio warfare, essentially, and U.S. is firing back and expelling the Chinese ambassadors and things. Regardless of whatever is going on or not going on with bio warfare and the virus and what have you, the fact that this is now coming out in the open, I think demonstrates the nature of the world war that we are living through right now, which it will look nothing like warfare as we've understood it, exactly as World War I was completely different from any war that had ever preceded it, and World War II was different again. World War III will look different. It is playing out right now, and it is not soldiers on battlefields lining up with tanks shooting at each other. It's biowarfare and information warfare and cyber warfare and all sorts of covert things that are primarily directed at the human population generally. I mean, ultimately, the ultimate war is taking place between the they, them, those, the globalists, whatever you call them, versus the mass of free humanity, question mark. And that is, spoiler alert, I think that's ultimately my conclusion in this editorial that I have yet to write, so I reserved the right to change this between here and there. But I think ultimately, yes, World War III is happening right now, and we're seeing that playing out, and it's, you know, U.S. and China are forming battle lines, but ultimately the war is against us all, and we're all losing because the militaries are rolling out on the streets, literally rolling out on the streets now to lock people down in their own houses. Do you think the war is happening? It is. It's just that the soldiers aren't enemy soldiers, quote-unquote. They're our own soldiers, quote-unquote.
Will the war with the soldiers happen eventually? Will it be in conjunction with the war that we see now?
Yeah. I think so. I don't see how this gets avoided in the long run. I think it would be, well, yes, again, on the 2D chessboard, just the way things appear on face value, it's US versus China and what have you. And in that stratagem, China's best strategy is to try to avoid that as long as possible, because obviously if it comes to direct head-on confrontation, US and China, there's no contest whatsoever. China might have some new whiz-bang gadgets and military technology that they've rolled out in recent years, mostly copied from the US, but there's not even a question. The US military budget dwarfs China's by orders of magnitude. So head-to-head, it would not be much of a fight, really. But that's why I think, because this is, as I've pointed out in my work before, I think this is a manipulated conflict where, yes, a lot of the people involved in these nation-state governments and militaries are who they say they are, and they really believe they're fighting for king and country or whatever the equivalent is. But in reality, the people who are writing the checks and the banksters who are creating the financial architecture for the monetary system and the financial architecture of the world are the ones that are really calling the shots. And I think in that sense, it's a stage in conflict in a lot of ways. So does it even have to come to military confrontation? Not necessarily, but I think they will have it at some point, because that has always been a convenient way of sort of steeping the public consciousness in that wartime mentality. There are wars, there are soldiers lining up, there's bombs dropping, people understand that, and they understand, well, we have to suck it up and curtail rights and what have you. Although, fair enough, I mean, again, I'm looking at the headline that came out an hour ago, Trump taps emergency powers as virus relief plan proceeds, talking about the 70-year-old Defense Production Act being kicked into use here in the name of this virus. So, again, maybe the hot war doesn't even need to happen.
Mm. Well, you know, I think one of the other stories that very little discussion is the oil. You know, it's amazing, the drop in oil. But yet, understanding a little bit how the dollar is attached to oil, I mean, they're just running in opposite directions. The dollar, by all rights, I know, is being propped up. That's the only thing that they can do to keep the system from collapsing here in the States. It's just a matter of time until the dollar goes into free fall. But usually you would see some sort of the opposite reaction of the dollar getting stronger with the drop in oil that we've seen. And I think the drop in oil is, I know it plays a big role in all part of their plan. Or did.
Well, as the dollar goes up, then commodities priced in dollars goes down.
Right.
That's the ratio there. But obviously, this is much more profound than that. It's not just a reflection of the artificial strengthening of the dollar as people panic and basically get cash. It's also, on top of that, the incredible simultaneous shutdown of industry across entire continents, which is obviously creating a demand a lack of demand for oil, the likes of which, again, we couldn't have even imagined a few months ago. And on top of that, we also have Russia and others in OPEC Plus having this oil war where they're all going to increase production at the time of this incredible oversupply. So it's again, they're talking about possibility of $10 an oil, a $10 a barrel oil. I mean, just things that no one could have imagined mere weeks ago is playing out right now. And oil is an interesting part of that. And it's interesting to think how in a rational world this would undermine so many different agenda items that have been shoved down our throats in recent years, like the end of oil, we've hit peak oil, we're running out of oil. No, actually, they have millions of barrels per day that they can ramp up on demand, and they're already oversupplied by millions of barrels per day. We have not hit peak oil. And secondarily, isn't this good for the environment? Because this is what the environmentalists, or at least the controlled environmental movement that has been talking about carbon dioxide as the greatest sin and the most horrible thing on the planet, this is what they wanted, complete shutdown of industries completely across the planet. Oh, and by the way, that also means Great Depression and people starving and horrible things are going to come from this. So you would think that would undermine the agenda, but I think, unfortunately, they're actually just going to ramp it up from here.
Well, James, we're just about out of time. I want to thank you for joining us. By the time I say you get 2 seconds, that 2 seconds are going to be gone. I do want to thank you for joining us, and we always appreciate you. We'll talk again in 2 weeks. Listeners, thank you for tuning in. Don't forget to call Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. And we'll be back on Monday, same time. And until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.